We open with hymn number 2. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory be to... All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, O God. They shall sing to thy name, O thou most high. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that of thy grace thou hast instituted holy matrimony in which thou keepest us from unchastity and other offenses. We beseech thee to send thy blessing upon every husband and wife that they may not provoke each other to anger and strife, but live peaceably together in love and godliness. Receive thy gracious help in all temptations, and rear their children in accordance with thy will. Grant unto us all to walk before thee in purity and holiness, to put all our trust in thee, and lead such lives on earth that in the world to come we may have everlasting life through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this second Sunday after Epiphany is found in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 6th verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle for this day is found in the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 6 through 16. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Here ends the epistle. The Lord sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts. Hallelujah. The gospel is found in the second chapter of John, the first through the 11th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 131. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of John, the 1st through the 11th verse. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the blessings which come from God come to all flesh. Even the smallest creatures owe their livelihood to their Creator. God cares for the birds of the field, and not one of them falls to the ground without his taking notice. How much more is it true that God cares for us, who are worth much more than the birds of the field? It is not to the little creatures, but to us that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Man was God's special creation, given dominion over all the earth. And so also it is man who sinned. And it is man who has an immortal soul. It is man, therefore, who must be redeemed, or he would perish forever. Therefore, in Jesus, God gives his greatest gifts to men. He is the Father's dearest treasure, the finest wine from heaven, poured out richly and abundantly on us all. The first sign that Jesus performed as he began his ministry as God's chosen Christ was well chosen by the Lord. It sets the tenor of his whole ministry, and it shows us that Jesus did not come to bring new laws and commandments, but to bring grace and mercy. He came to show God's love for sinners. Therefore, he gives good wine to the wedding guests freely and abundantly. The manner in which Jesus gives his good gifts, however, is not always what people expect. Even this miracle is not what his mother Mary expected. He worked out of sight, not with great show. Those who needed to see the miracle saw it, and they noted it well. Later, there would be many more miracles which Jesus would do before the eyes of all. But here, Jesus manifests his glory and his love so that the need would be met for the time, but also so that his disciples would believe on him. It is no coincidence that Jesus chooses this as his first sign. Amos prophesied, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seeds. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with it." And again, Isaiah 25, verse 6 declares that in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. When God sent his Son into the world, he did not give sparingly to men. Even as Jesus gave well over 100 gallons of the best wine, so also his grace and mercy is not just sufficient, but overabundant. It overflows our needs, more than enough to cover all the sins of men. Now the abundance of God's storehouse has been opened. The Son of God has come, and Jesus is born in human flesh. As he performed his first miracle, unbeknownst to all but a few, the master of the wedding feast declared, "You have kept the good wine until now." What better words could be spoken on such an occasion as this, when Jesus performed the first miracle of his ministry? For God has truly kept his greatest gifts until now, when he reveals to us in his Son Jesus Christ the storehouses of heaven's merit. But the master of the feast did not know of this miracle. Jesus all but did it in secret. And so it is that when God gives his greatest blessing to men in Jesus Christ, he does not give it in the way that men, according to our fleshly understanding, would expect. None of this went the way Mary expected either. She, who kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, was sure that now was the perfect opportunity for Jesus to make himself known to Israel. She believed the words of the angel. She wondered at the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. And now, like a good Jewish mother, Mary thought it was her place to give her son a little nudge. They have no wine, Mary said. But why would she say this to Jesus? It was not his wedding. He was not the master of the feast. He was a guest. Yet she expected Jesus to do something about it. And she expected him to do it in front of everybody. That we can tell from the gentle rebuke which Jesus gives his mother. What does your concern have to do with me? The New King James puts it. The phrase is literally, what to you and to me? Which is an expression that the Jews use to say, this is my business, not yours. In other words, Jesus was telling his mother, lady, leave such things to me. It is not your concern. This is not yet my hour. It is not in Mary's hands nor the hands of anybody but the Father in heaven who decides how and when Jesus will work. But there was still hope in these words because Jesus did really say, leave that to me. And therefore Mary did not presume any more to tell Jesus what to do. Instead, she told the servants, do whatever he tells you, and she left the rest to him. How often we are in the place of Mary. In our sighs and worries, we as much as say, God, why don't you act in this matter? Why don't you act now? Why don't you do it this way? Or we act in such a way that we can push and prod God along, doing things the way we think that they should be done. Isn't this really the error of the charismatics who think that they can make the Holy Spirit do tricks for them as if he were their pet? But in much more subtle ways, we are guilty of the same thing. Perhaps if we pray the right prayer, or if we really mean it, God will act as we think best. But God is not our puppet, nor do we have the right or the authority to command him. It is good that we do not, because we are not God. God knows the hour when he will act. He knows what is best for us and when we should have it. He has chosen to work through certain means at certain times, and we should stick with the means that he has given us. As Mary did, so also should we do. Let our requests be made known unto God, but even so let our Lord determine the manner and the time in which he will act. He has certain means that he will use, and we do not choose those means. And so it is surely no coincidence that the first miracle of Jesus points us straight at the means which he has chosen to work among us today. In the water which in the water which became so much more, we are reminded of baptism, where God's word takes water and gives it the superabundant gift of his Holy Spirit, the new birth and the forgiveness of sins. And so too with the wine. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus shows his glory with wine. And at the end of his ministry, he declares his glory in the wine of the Lord's Supper. In the water made wine, the glory of Jesus was not openly revealed, but it was hidden so that his disciples might believe on him. And even so, the benefits of baptism and the Lord's Supper are not obvious to the world, but they are received by faith. At the beginning and at the end, Jesus' gift of wine was all about his love for sinners. And these gifts come to us in such normal-looking packages, such humble means, much like Jesus himself. He does not appear to do even anything at all. He tells the servants to go and draw water from the large pots. But in truth, they are actually drawing wine, not by anything that they have done, but simply because Jesus spoke the word. That is how it is with the means of grace. They do not look like much. Preaching, water, bread, wine. Where are the real miracles? When is Jesus going to do something? The whole world looks for such signs. Signs of the end times, like raptures or horsemen riding about or asteroids falling into the ocean or, better yet, a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. But Jesus is already here, ruling and reigning in his church, working through preaching. He is here in bread and wine. His spirit is here in the waters of baptism. But they do not look like much. And just as it was at the wedding of Canaan, so it is today. In their use, they are miraculous. God is there in them. His spirit is in them. His word is in them. Jesus' own body and blood are there. What seems to be just a sip of water is actually the finest wine. How much more it is true that God has kept the good wine until now. For we are so richly blessed to have Jesus in our midst, continuing to perform his miracles right under our noses. We who have tasted his gifts know that he is good and that his mercy endures even among us today. The hour of the glorious appearing of Jesus may be at any time, or we may never see it in our lifetime, but now is the hour in which Jesus comes to you. And the fruit of Jesus' means of grace is the same as it was on the day of Cana, of the wedding in Cana. His disciples believed on him. Here in this miracle of water turned to wine is the glorious epiphany of the grace of God, promised to our fathers, revealed first to a few disciples and then to all the world. That is the purpose of all of Jesus' miracles, to show his glory. To show his glory by him who does not seem to be glorious. He did not perform them to gain fame, to glorify himself. He did not do miracles because it was popular, because he figured if he did this, it would draw the crowds and entertain them. He's not interested in that. That's not the kind of witness he needs. No, he had a better witness. He had his Father in heaven, who testified not only with his voice, but with the scriptures, in the writings of the prophets, foretelling the coming of his Son. And here these miracles confirmed the word which God had spoken. And that was the witness that was contained in those signs. It is no coincidence that Jesus would take the water pots which were used for the purification rite of the Jews and transform them into instruments of his grace. This rite of purification was never commanded by God. It was a tradition. It was invented by certain elders of the Jews who believed that the material substance of the world was itself evil and it could pollute the soul, and that by washing hands before eating, they were ritually ridding themselves of this evil. In the early days of the church, this error was taught by the Gnostics, who denied that Jesus was God. By using these water pots, Jesus prevented their use for purification. And he was setting forth a sign which would mark his entire ministry. Away with your vain traditions and self-righteous works. They cannot purify you. Those rituals do nothing. Instead, receive the grace of God which he offers freely. I provide you, he says, with something far better. A wine of higher cost. My own blood. Why would you seek to purify yourself with vain works when I give you my grace freely? How hard it is for us to simply trust in the mercy of God and believe that it is ours. We have it ingrained deeply in our nature that we must provide God our works, our way, in our time. And yet in all of the scriptures, the Lord bids us instead to abandon our vain works and receive the grace which he has already given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, offered in his way, in his word and sacraments, and brought to completion in his time, when he calls us from this life. And as we seek out merely the water, as if with the right tools, substances, rituals, we could cleanse ourselves from sin, Jesus gives us wine, and fine wine at that, that is so costly we could never buy it. The blood which he shed for us is far better than all the blood which came before it, better than the blood of beasts which could not atone for the sins of the people, better even than the shedding of our own blood, which could never pay for our many sins. In our Lord Jesus Christ, God has kept the good wine until now. And he has given us this wine where we can always find it, in his word and sacraments. May we therefore freely and joyfully drink of it, until we drink it anew with Jesus in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, who in Jesus Christ thy Son has given the light of thy truth for all who are in the darkness of error and falsehood, so that all men may have light through his name, we thank thee that thou hast called us into this true and living faith and graciously bestowed upon us manifold gifts of grace. Hear our prayer, Heavenly Father, that thy people may be shining lights in this world's darkness. Grant that we may be united in brotherly love and zeal to do the holy work set before us, fervent in the purpose of our calling, faithful in every trial, joyful in our promised hope, generous in hospitality, and holding fast to all that is good. Bestow thy special favor upon our homes, as our Lord blessed the marriage feast in Cana with his presence and with his miraculous gift of wine, grant that he may also dwell in every home and bestow on us the heavenly gifts of grace and mercy which he has won for us with his own blood. Bless all who live together in the bonds of marriage, that they may serve one another in love, hold each other in honor, and acknowledge thy goodness and grace in one spirit, even as they are one flesh. Grant that our homes may reflect the grace wherein Christ hath loved his bride, the church, and hath laid down his life for her. Give stability and peace to the nations of the earth, and show thyself to be the only true God, so that all men may know of thy power and glory. Send forth ministers of thy word into every place, that the multitudes may learn of thine infinite goodness through Jesus Christ, who was crucified for the sins of the world. We implore thy mercy, O God, for all who are in any want or need of body or soul, that thou wouldst deliver them from all evil. Give them the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for heaviness. We especially ask thy blessing this day, O Lord, upon Linda Dears, that she may in her weakness remember thy mercy and thy loving kindness which have been ever of old. Strengthen her in her faith, increase her in her love and hope for thee, and if it be thy will, restore her to health once more. Save us from all hidden perils, and defend until that hour when thou shalt call us from this earthly tabernacle to dwell in thy house forever and ever. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray. Amen. We sing hymn 535. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
take a drink?
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 50. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.